You see, the things that God is doing, when you follow him, when you follow through with what he's saying, if you can believe him, he will help you make the best choices throughout time. We were talking about time. Time is going to happen anyway. But what if you had intelligence in every turning point of your life to help you make the best choice? This is following God. If more people follow God, if more people were following God, people will see that, and more people will follow God because they are inspired. People are inspired by people. The Lord once told me that humans have more influence on humans than angels or demons. So when people see people doing what works, living the light of God's word, bearing fruit, it inspires them, and they have something, they have a comparison, you know. In Isaiah 6, you know, things go pretty good for us, but when we don't have a comparison, we don't have a way of knowing a better way. Only maybe if we imagine it, but who imagines something and stick with it? Because remember, I said a moment ago, the enemy, our enemy, if you understand your enemy better, he was once an angel. He was given knowledge. He didn't have an evil challenge to overcome. He became evil. He has the knowledge of angels. He saw the face of God. He knows, he seals the psalm. He knows the answers. He knows how life is supposed to work. And he's trying to get us to follow him, worship him, and also be an enemy against God. He wants us to, everything he does outside of us is designed to cause us to fail in life towards God, live a life in submission to him, which is illusion. And he even make people's lives look good on the outside, but it's torn apart on the inside so he can control it in order to cause misery. Then all of his efforts is designed to get you to be upset with God to the point that you'll curse God and worship him. That's what's happening in the world. He's doing everybody like that. Not just God's people, but the people that he already got, he's got them living a life of entrapment. And he makes their life look good on the outside. There are so many millionaires, billionaires that commit suicide because they're not happy people. There's no fulfillment in the world. And it takes so long to figure this out. But when you have a comparison and to see a better way, you can come out of all forms of darkness. Now listen to what happened with Isaiah. He's in this vision along with other prophets. And he felt, from the wording, it seems like he felt like he was the least of them. Listen to what he said. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You see, did you catch that word also? I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, he's looking at the Lord from afar, along with others. This tells me he felt like he was the least of the other prophets that were there. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain, he covered his face. And with twain, he covered his feet. And with twain, which is two, he did fly. So he's flying on two wings. He's got his face covered with two, and he's got his feet covered with two. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, he's looking at the Lord and his glory, seeing the angels, how they reverence him. This is his comparison. He's gaining vision from seeing how God really is, not just how he imagined him to be. He's seeing more of what the word says that he is. He's, you know, in his mind, he could be thinking of how Adam was, all the people he heard about, how Moses was, and now he's seeing the Lord behind the scenes. He's seeing God as he really is in his glory, in his he senses his love and his patience with us. Now watch what he said. He said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now he has a visual of who God is. He sees his condition. See, we can't see our condition from our point of view because we're surrounded in it. The culture we live in, the people we're around, what we see every day. And then, not to mention the accuser who accuses people that's breaking through or about to break through. This is the world. Isaiah lived at a time where people were going awry. They were going astray. It was surrounded by all kind of evil, witchcraft, abomination, rebellion, backsliding. The prophets were having a time trying to get Israel back on board with God. Then he sees the pure love of God in heaven. He sees the glory. He sees the angels, how they reverence him, how true and perfect God is, how he cares about us. And all the things that the enemy accused God of, he see it for what it is. I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, throughout my life, at the hardest times, the enemy set me up to be angry with God. And I'm talking about me. But Kenneth Copeland said something that helped me with that. One day I was walking past the TV. The TV was on and he was preaching. He said, "God is not wrong. He will not do you wrong." And that word got in my heart. So when the enemy challenged me to be angry with God, I had that to stand on. I said, "No, you're wrong. God is not wrong." And I didn't judge God unfaithful. Now, if you're judging God by your surroundings, now that's hard. That seems like something hard to say and imagine, but that's what happens. People have all feelings against God. They have frustrations against the Lord because of what they don't know. And the enemy will try to exploit it for what it's worth. But now, he see God as he is. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now he has a comparison. Now watch this. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. Seraphim is one of the beautiful angels. Some say they look like serpents, but they're holy. They're not evil. Everything, God never made anything evil. Everything God made was perfect. But when something goes from knowledge to anti-knowledge, or godly knowledge to satanic knowledge, without temptation, that's evil. But nevertheless, the seraphim came having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Now, when this happened for Isaiah, the angel knew that he wanted correction. He wanted to be corrected. He wanted to look at God correctly because he was adjusting to the comparison that he just had. Now, you can't get this kind of comparison on earth because it wasn't there. You had to be in God's presence. Now, when we live in God's presence, we give people a comparison to look to. But our righteousness is not of us. Our righteousness is of God. And we got it from him. So we freely give that. We live according to God's word. And it enables people to see and then make a choice, a sober choice, to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior and begin the same relationship that we enjoy. Now, all these things happen for Isaiah when he saw the Lord. Then the angel enabled him. He put a live coal in his hand, put it on Isaiah's mouth. And watch what happened. "He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." You know, when Jesus was about to die for us in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Lord, if there's another way, but not my will, thy will be done." He stayed subject to God. See, God has a way of cleansing us, but he wanted to do it the way he did it. because he wanted salvation to be by faith, not of works. And but in this instance, Isaiah was purged. His sin was purged. Now watch what happened. Purged means filtered out. Verse 8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." The other prophets said nothing. The prophets that were greater than Isaiah said nothing. That's when we don't know who they are. But Isaiah did something. He wanted his sin corrected. He acknowledged the fact that I'm not right. When he saw the Lord, I need help. He was crying out for help. I'm a man of unclean lips. He admitted what was wrong. And then he said, I come from a people of unclean lips. So if he come from a people of unclean lips, so did the other prophets. But they didn't say anything. If you say something, God can help you. If you involve God, and yesterday's broadcast was about involving God, and we showed three examples how some involved God and some people didn't. Nevertheless, when God is involved, you can be corrected, and you can have the Lord as your guide in life by the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you into all truth. You'll use your faith to go there. Okay, so he volunteered. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And then he said, Now God is talking, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he said, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed man far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. See, this was about to happen because the king of Assyria was about to take Israel captive. Because of sin, they would not repent, they would not worship God. They got in a state of rebellion. They didn't want correction. When the prophets were sent to them, they drove them away and killed them. So this is why the Lord had to do this. He's not going to let people represent him that hate him or hate his people. So nevertheless, Isaiah blinded Israel under God's instruction. The Lord is a God of justice, and he's doing justice to promote love. Because people who set the pace, people who represent God, they can do good or bad. And he's not going to let an unholy people represent him. Because you'll never have a comparison. When Jesus came to his own people, they killed him. They wanted him dead, even though he went about doing good. But watch what he said. Verse 13, but yet in it, there shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. In other words, they will be received. Now, he used the word eaten. There's a tenth of people that will break through all that evil darkness, even the blindness that Isaiah set forth against the wicked. There are people that will come to God anyway out of darkness because they want the hope of the Lord. They want what God has. They want the life that God has for them. And they break through to get it. Now, the whole world is in disarray because of the works of darkness. But there are always people from every country, every tribe, every family that will seek the Lord, their God and King, and break through all the darkness of Satan. There are people that come from the bottom of the world and Satan can't do anything about it. When they hear the gospel, they're coming. But all the people that get saved, most people will not follow God. But there are people who break through and learn to follow him. Now, this is very important because God can do something about your condition. It doesn't matter how bad it was. God can deal with it. He knows what to do. And he can take you forward. You just have to trust him. Faith gives you that ability to control your destiny. In other words, you're going to be able to master in life and take advantage of time instead of you being influenced by Satan, and then Satan take control of your time and shorten your days. The things of God will lengthen your days, and he'll give you back the years that the thief stole, the cankerworm ate. Everything that went against you, God can give you those years back, but you got to pay attention to him. And there's a lot to go wrong in the life of everybody. We all need his help. But following God is the key. How do we follow God? Fill your heart with the word and pray. Have a strong prayer life. You don't have to sit in the house for hours every day praying with the TV off and things like that. What I'm talking about is include the Lord in your everyday decisions. Now take time and pray with nothing on, no distractions. Do that. That's important. You have to work, but while you're working, you can think on the Lord. I told a friend of mine, study, get a scripture in the morning, and then while you're working, think, meditate on that word or whatever God put in your heart. Think about it. You know, pastor used to say, think about the word, worry the word. Don't worry about problems, worry the word. In other words, rehearse the word in your mind and heart, and it'll renew. This is living by his strength. If you try to live by your strength like the world does, you're going to wear yourself out. If you try not to sin all day, you're going to wear yourself out. But if you just fall in love with God, you're not going to have appetite for sin. And remember, you can talk to your will. I've done this so many times. I tell my will, I love God's ways, I hate Satan's ways. I will do all this in God's heart, and everything that's like Satan got to go. And the Lord takes it from there, and the angels help me. I was troubled about my business before. I said, Lord, every month I almost make enough money, but then I don't. He said, every morning before your feet hit the floor, command your angels to bring you money, cash. He said, cash. I said, okay. I started doing that in faith. He showed me what to do. He guided me to the truth I needed. All I had to do was walk in. Another time he said, don't ever worry about money in my presence. And I live in his presence. So that means don't ever worry about money. Don't ever worry about what's not. You love God. Pray for what you need and keep on meditating in the word. And the Lord will give you, and I'm going to say this as I close. I used to make the mistake of trying to figure out how God was going to do a thing. I had to stop that because it always got me into doubt. See, the enemy is tricky. If you try to figure it out and you're going to believe according to that, you're not giving God a chance to show you something new. You put it in God's hands. Ask God to help you. Understand that he heard your prayer and he's doing that. He's on it. Consider him on it and go on to something else. I'm not saying forget about it and act like everything's all right. No, I'm saying the problem is solved from the time you ask the Lord to help you. The money's coming just like it's supposed to. You involve God, just like we talked about yesterday's broadcast. When you involve God, God is involved. He's not going to stop. He was waiting on you to involve him. He can't wait to be involved. When pastor lay hands on people to get healed, God can't wait to heal them. He just wants them to look to him. And if they can do that, then he'll solve the problem, however he wants to. And I learned, I got more positive results and more answered prayer when I stopped trying to figure out God's part. I do my part and let God do his part. And he always supersedes my expectation. Supersedes my expectation. Every time he give every assignment, everything he give me to do, I don't always see the wisdom in it. But when he reveals it to me, I can't wait till next time he tell me to do something, because I know it's going to be good. I have faith in what I'm doing. Every broadcast the Lord give me, I know it's life. It's going to help somebody cooperate with God. That's all God needs. And he'll show himself strong in your life. He can't wait. Just like he can't wait to heal people when pastor pray, he can't wait to show himself strong in your life. Just look to him and rejoice. And in the meantime, while everything is working that you can't see yet, praise him. Worship him. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the people around you. you don't, most of the time, my circumstance didn't change right off, but my relationship continued to go forward. And guess what happened? My circumstances eventually changed, and God was able to work when I didn't shut everything down without trying to figure out how he was going to do. I relaxed in him. I learned to relax in him. And that's what you're going to have to do. Following God takes all the pressure off you. And you do what's important. He'll alert you to do your part. There's a man with sight and a God with sight. You'll do a little bit of effort and he'll do the rest. All right, and you'll enjoy life. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus loves you. My son loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory.